Proverbs chapter 3. In the Passion Translation, we're going to read in verse 5. And the Passion Translation, I love this translation. It's great, isn't it? It's one of my favorite scriptures. It just depends on the season. I have so many favorite scriptures, so it just really depends on the season. But Proverbs 3, chapter 5, verses 9 says, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions." That is good. Right there. I mean, don't you just love the word of God? It's rich, right? Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, who is the revealer of all truth. I'm asking that hearts will be filled today. And I thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge flooding the eyes of our hearts this morning. Lord, it's because of revelation that fuels our dedication and our commitment to you. And I thank you, Lord, that the revelation, the seed that is sown today will produce fruit in our lives, some 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And it will give the eternal life that you give to us through your word. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen. So trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you. And he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. And he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. My God, don't you hate know-it-alls? We don't hate them, but we hate that they know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him. Wisdom comes when you adore him. And, with undivided devotion, and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing, refreshment your body and spirit long for. Glorify God with all your wealth. Come on. That means you're giving. There's some great revelation with that. With all your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow. Everybody say overflow. Overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Isn't this like the best scripture to like guide your life? Every day to just remind yourself of. I have a question that the Lord has placed in my heart to ask. What does God have to say about you? Pastor Megan said, first of all, that was an amazing, powerful, on-time word. But when she said, you got to know who you are, and then you got to really believe it, you know. But what I've noticed is that a lot of times we will agree or mentally assent. And you have to be careful. There is a difference between mental ascension and faith that is rooted and grounded in your heart. There is a difference. There are people that are mentally agreeing, especially if you've been around church for a long time, and especially like a church like this, this can happen, where you hear it, you believe it in your head, but it hasn't become a reality in your heart. So you'll love and sing songs like, I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you, and the tears coming down. But do you know who he said you are? What do you know he said, who he's called you to be and who he says you are? What does God have to say about your situations? Do you know what he has to say specifically about your situations? I used to go, there was a girl that I went to school with in ORU. I'm a graduate of Oral Roberts University. And when I was there, my roommate, she used to always, like, when she was having a crazy time in her life, she would like amp up her Bible reading time, which was awesome. But then she would read like weird things like Judges and like Leviticus, you know, and I'm just like, and she's studying, you know, whatever. And I'm like, girl, that ain't helping you. Like, you need something for that particular thing. You know, it's like in the natural, you know, if you have an issue, like, let's say you have a cold or whatever, I'm a big promoter of like health and nutrition. So sorry if I use those examples, but that's just how I am. And then, but you know, if you, I always tell people when they're struggling with any kind of inflammation or anything, I'm like, Girl, go get you some 100% vitamin C tablets, okay, from the natural food store. Get you those ones that even have the enhancements with the rose hips, you know what I mean? Just take a few of those for like 24 hours, and I promise you, it'll be knocked out, you know? Drink a lot of water. I mean, but it wouldn't make any sense to tell them, if they're dealing with those things, it wouldn't make any sense to tell them, well, go get some calcium and go get some vitamin D. You know, that's for your bones. Like, that's going to help, but that's not going to help that situation. The word of God is like medicine to our spirit, and it will even affect our bodies. Proverbs 4 says, my son, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Incline thine ears. It will be, it will bring health to all of your flesh, it says. So it affects every part of you. Come on. It's going to bring everything that you need to every part of your being. Hallelujah. So, God wants to bring us to a place where we are promoted, so to speak. God wants to promote us. How do I know that? Well, and what does promotion look like in the kingdom of God? Because promotion in the kingdom looks a little bit different than promotion in the world. Promotion in the world, for example, like in corporate America or something like that, you know, it's a doggy dog world. It's a scrap, you know, kind of thing. And you work your way to the top. You don't care who you step on to get there. Right. And that to the top is about, you know, increasing in money. But the things of God and the things of God, it goes beyond money, although it's included. But promotion in God looks like it looks a little bit different than the world. Number one, it looks like possessing the inheritance or, you know, actually receiving and experiencing the inheritance that he's given us. Are y'all hearing me? The inheritance is huge, and it takes more than a lifetime to unfold. Thank God for teachings, revelations, books, all these things that have gone before us that we can tap into so we don't have to spend a whole lifetime to figure out what they already figured out. Amen. And what the Holy Ghost has already revealed to them. So it becomes important for us to, because there is a difference between owning and possession. How many of you know that? We have, you know, the oldest adopted daughter, when she was living with us, she was driving around my car. And we actually gave her the car. And when we gave her the car, we didn't do it legally. So my name was still on the title. Everything about it legally was mine. She was in possession of it, but I was not. Even when she moved away and she moved out on her own, she was in possession of it and I was not. I was just the owner. Does that make sense? You can own something and not be in possession of something. The inheritance of God, you and I have been given such a large inheritance that it's going to take faith to go and possess it. It must be possessed. What does that mean? It's got to happen as a reality in your life, because Jesus paid too great of a price for you not to have it. You know, when you take your kids to Disney World and you've been there, there was one time we went, man, I don't know. It ain't that magical sometimes when you go with the kids, they're too little. Let me just tell you, if you're excited about taking kids to Disney World, just wait until they're at least five so they can appreciate. Okay. And even then it might be a little challenging, but I'm telling you, sometimes you go and it's not very magical, Miss Bonnie. It ain't that magical. I mean, sometimes it's like so tiring. I mean, you really need, and we always tell this, we say, if you go for like a week, you want to make sure that you have one day or 2 days of recovery, because you need a vacation after that vacation. You know what I mean? It's crazy and it's so draining. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? It's so draining. We've been at Disney World one time, and this guy, it was so funny. We were walking with the kids and our kids were complaining. They were tired, you know? And so we were like, okay, we're going to get a stroller. And even in the strollers, you know, they still can complain. It's hot, it's fussing. And this guy that was walking next to us, he and his family were walking by too. And his kids were doing the same thing. And I guess he just had enough of it, because he was like, oh my God. He's like, what is wrong? I mean, we're here and we paid all this money and you're just wah, wah. He turned to his wife. He's like, I need a drink. I know we're pastors, but we laughed so hard. It was so funny because we were feeling him, you know, like, oh my God. So it was so funny. But I think about that, and you think about how much of a price you pay for them to enjoy themselves. God paid too much of a price for us. We have an inheritance that belongs, legally belongs to us. The price was too great for us not even to even give attention to what that is. And even much more to go and get what rightfully belongs to us. It ought to make you mad when you start seeing it. That's my inheritance? And I've been living like this? Oh, uh-uh. Come on, you know how you can get sisters. You know how you... All right. So, possessing the inheritance, that's one thing that looks like promotion in God's eyes. Look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I'm gonna go quickly here. Part of our inheritance is freedom. Part of our inheritance is freedom. Freedom over sin, freedom from bondage of Satan. And Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery to the sight of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's what he came to do. And let me tell you, that's what he did. If we're going to possess all of the inheritance God has for us, we're going to have to believe what God says about us. And it's got to come down to, it can't just be a general, I believe what he says I am, who he says I am. I believe I have what he says I have. It's got to be, what does he say you have? Who does he say you are? It's a good confession to blanket it, but let me tell you, when it comes down to it, if you're going to see it as a reality in your life, you're going to have to get down into it and find out what he had to say. You're going to have to get open up the will. Come on, there's a will and a testament. Everybody has the opportunity. We all can do that, right? When someone passes on, we write up these papers called a will and a last testament, right? This testament, this will has been already written out. And we, you and I, we need the Holy Ghost, our advocate, the lawyer, our attorney, to interpret this legal terms that belong to us. When you come into Christ, you don't even know what you have. You don't know who you are. It's going to take the Spirit of God to reveal it to you. Hallelujah. So if we're going to walk in our inheritance, we've got to believe what he said. Psalms 106 in the New Living Translation, verses 24 to 25. The people refused. They refused to enter the pleasant land, it says, for they wouldn't believe his promise to care for them. Instead, they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. This word just stirred in my heart. How many of us are refusing? So you might not say, no, I'm not refusing. I want it all. I want it all. But my thing is this. If you're going to find out what the inheritance is that you possess, how do you do that? You got to get into the Word of God. I said, you got to get into the Word of God. It doesn't change. It's just that simple. Hebrews chapter 4 says, for this good news, verse 2, for this good news that God has prepared this rest. Oh my God. When I hear that word, this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. This is referring to the Israelites, just like in Psalms 106 did. It says, has been announced to us just as it was to them, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. In other words, they didn't believe like those who did believe. There were people, a whole generation that didn't get the promise, that didn't walk in the promise. God said, that land is yours. And they said, we don't believe we can actually get it. Why? Because there were things that were unexpected there. Giants in the land. Things that were unexpected. My God. God's promotion comes when we're prospering. How do we get promoted in God? It's when we're prospering. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to do well. He wants us to be healthy in every area of our lives. You know those Israelites that did not obtain the promises of God? Their thinking was wrong. Pastor Bonnie said that the other day. We got to get rid of the stinking thinking. What's stinking thinking? Anything that opposes what God says about you is a lie. And do you know in Hebrews 4, it's referred to, and 3 and 4, it's referred to as rebellion. So the thoughts that we've been allowing, come on, I'm talking about thoughts that have been there for a long time. Some of us middle school age. Lies that we've just embraced about ourselves, about who we are. Still struggling. You heard Pastor Megan. The temptation and the thoughts that keep coming from since when she was in school. You ain't good enough. They don't really like you. They're laughing in your face, but they're talking behind your back. You think you can do that? You can't preach as good as her. You can't pray like them. Oh, but it ain't gonna happen because you don't even sound right. Buying the lies. These people, if you go back to Numbers, they actually said, we can't do this. We can't obtain the land. Why not? Because there are giants in that land. There are descendants of Anak in that land. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Wait a minute. You look like grasshoppers. How do you know that? Did you go up to them and say, excuse me? How do I look to you? No, their thinking was wrong. They assumed. What they didn't know, because by the time the Israelites who did believe actually went over, when the spies went out, before they got and possessed the land, we find out from Rahab, they've been shaking in their boots and afraid of that nation. Because they knew the one true living God was on their side. They heard about all the things that God did, especially delivering them out of the mighty hand of Egypt. They didn't even know. How many of us are missing out on the blessings of God because we just won't believe him? I like the way Mark Hankin says it. He says, if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would move it. There's an inheritance that God wants us to possess. But it ain't going to happen if our thinking is wrong. He wants us to prosper. In order for us to prosper, we're going to have to obey him and live like what he says is true. What do I mean obey? You're going to have to live like it's true. Walk it out. Walk it out. I am accepted in the beloved. You dealing with rejection, you need to get in some in Christ reality scriptures. You have to get it and eat it. What does that mean? Meditate. Meditation is, I like to use this example, it's similar to natural digestion. You know, digestion begins in the mouth, they say. So when you begin to eat, the digestion process begins with our mouth. The same thing I find to be true spiritually. You start saying the same things that God says. Even if you don't feel like it, and even if you don't believe it yet, you can school yourself into that position of faith. If you're not there, you can actually say it so much that eventually you'll believe it. Don't you love it? So when you begin to take that word, I'm accepted in the eyes of the beloved. Sometimes we just look over that too much and we don't care. We care about everybody else, what everybody else think. We're too people conscious. We're too everything conscious, except God conscious. We're talking about the creator of all things. We are accepted. Not just accepted, but we've been adopted as his very own. You engrafted with his own son. Why did he need to engraft us? I mean, why are we so significant? When I look at pictures of outer space and I see Earth compared to everything else, I'm like, you know, we're just a speck. I get on an airplane and everybody's looking like a speck. But yet he cares for us. We're accepted in his eyes. We're talking about the top dog, okay? I don't care who you think you're trying to impress and try to be important in front of. We're talking about the best of the best. Nobody is higher. There is no higher. You are accepted in his eyes. Woo! Not even just accepted. He calls you his very own. You and I belong to him. Y'all, thinking about that over and over and over will give you such confidence. I don't know, you liable to do something crazy. It just builds you up, doesn't it? Just thinking on it, meditating on it. The word of God will work. Don't worry about if it's working. Whatever it is, if you're dealing with rejection, if you're dealing with, you know, self-acceptance or you know, self-hatred things, you know, that are toxic. Maybe the Holy Ghost has been revealing it to you, but you don't know what to do. You need to get some in Christ realities. These are scriptures, and I'm sure your pastors here can help you with those scriptures. It changed my life. It changed the way I pray. It changed the way I talk. It changed, I mean, I grew up in Christianity, but you understand, it changed my Christianity because now it's a reality. For years, I heard you seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? It just kept going over my head. But as I meditated, as I began to let it sink in, woo, I'm seated together. He's at the right hand. That means he's second in command. I'm seated together with him. I'm in him, it says, in Christ. In the Caribbean, my family is from Trinidad and Tobago. My husband's family from the Virgin Islands. And mango is my favorite fruit. I can't have it that often because of all the sugar, but it's great. Okay, it's my favorite. And there's different kinds of mangoes if you know mangoes. And so just like there are different kind of apples, there are different kinds of mangoes. Did anybody know that? Okay, so there are different kinds. And my favorite is called the engrafted mango. So engrafted mangoes are ones that where they bring one breed and another breed and they entwine them together to the point where when the mango grows, it is so intertwined that you can no longer separate it and it becomes a new fruit. This is you and I in Christ. God cannot see the difference. Do you see how that can change your prayer life? Do you see how you can approach the throne of God and know that it's not, you're not boasting and confident in yourself. You know you are nothing without that. But when you come before him, whoo, God hears me when I pray. That ain't cocky. That's because you know who you are. You know the price that he paid for you. Hallelujah. But it won't happen unless you get in the word. The word has got to get in you. You don't have to worry about if it's working for you. God said that he sends forth his word and he watches over it. And it will accomplish what it set out to do. Just like if I set up a whole table and I show you all these vegetables and vitamins and all this stuff. And I say, this will do this for you. This will do this for you. This will do this for you. We can all rejoice and shout about it and run around and say, "Woo! I need that. I need that. Woo. And come on and get it. It's free. Come on and get it. And everybody comes and everybody takes it. And I give you grocery bags and everybody put it in their grocery bags. And you go home and it sits on your counter and it just dies. It does nothing until you eat it. The word of God will do nothing for you until you eat it. You must digest this word because it is your very life. And it gives you life. And it will give you that confidence that you so desire when you look at Sister So-and-so or Pastor So-and-so. And when you see this person and you wonder, why can't I be that bold? When you get to know who you are in Christ with the revelation knowledge of God, it will even change your personality. I grew up in a spirit-filled church and I never, ever, ever would have run around a church. I used to think like, is that really necessary? Like, and when people would, woo, we had this one lady, she would always get drunk in the spirit and laugh. I'm thinking, like, you're a bit extra. Like, really? I remember the first time I was in one as I was married to my husband, loved Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't know what I had. Poor dumb thing. So just sitting there and Holy Ghost is moving in a kind of a way. Joy of the Lord is him. People are running wild. And I'm like, I just don't want to be fake. I'm a pastor's kid. So I'm like, you can spot fake a mile away. People come in. They're like, Pastor, we're with you. Yeah, we're not even writing your name down because I know you ain't gonna last. You liar. So I never wanted to be that person, you know, faking. People going up, and they're not really falling on the power of God. They're just doing it because, oh, everybody else is doing it. Ooh, guess I should fall. I was one of those teenagers like, God, if I'm a fall, I'm a fall. Because your power. And I never did as a teenager. But one day, I started to grow up in Christ. And one time, a spiritual father came, and he went to lay hands on me. And he normally has a heavy hand anyway. Bam. But this time, it was like a sack of bricks. Like, he took a sack of bricks and went, bam. I was like, poof. Ooh, that was so fun. But anyway, I'm in the service, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, I'm sitting in the service, and all these things are happening. And even my husband, he's laughing and all this stuff, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm just sitting there saying, Lord, I don't want to be wrong if this is real. Because if it's just a bunch of nonsense, I don't want it. Because I don't want fake. But if this is you, see, this was the difference. This is how it opened up and I was experiencing. If this is you, I want it. Help me to see and help me to know. So as I'm sitting there, my spiritual father gets up in the middle of it all. And he's all drunk. And he says, some of you may thinking, maybe thinking that this ain't necessary. He says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I'd heard that scripture several times in my life, but when he said those words, bing, this looks so foolish. It actually is foolish, but God has chosen these foolish things to put to shame, another translation says, the wise. So those who think they know it all, they're wise and they're acting so undignified. Missing out on their breakthrough. God has chosen the foolish things. That's why he chose you and me. He's chosen the foolish things so it brings more glory to him. Think about throughout the scriptures. He used Gideon. That man did not think. Mighty man of valor. Who are you talking to? He's there hiding from the Gideonites, right? So God does this. And when that thing hit me, I laughed. I just started to laugh. And then the joy of the Lord just caught on to my spirit. And I was gone, y'all. I was so drunk in the Holy Ghost, on the floor, laughing, all this stuff. And I got so free. But I'm saying it didn't just happen that way. The Spirit of God, he's so patient. He'll work with you. But he's going to make things real to you. Jesus said he'll make it real to you. He's going to reveal the truth to you. He's going to show you. So if you will just get in, and I got a little ahead of myself, but I'll talk about getting in the Holy Ghost, but getting in the Word too, you know? God's promotion comes when we're prospering. He wants us to prosper, particularly in our soul. This is something very important. 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, in the message, it says, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. So what is the Lord telling us to do about our soul? He's telling us we got to change the way we think. It's not just going to happen. It happens by digesting his thoughts. His words got to get in us. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask the Father anything and he will give it to you. You see how that changes your prayer life? When you get the word in you, that's where the faith is being built. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That confidence is going to come from what he said and your response to what he said. Are you going to act like it's true? Are you going to live like it's true? Or are you just going to say, oh, it's too big. Oh, it's too scary. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. He's saying, you can, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When are you going to get it in your heart? You got to give attention to it. I said, you got to give attention. There's no way around this. So you can't be lazy. You cannot be lazy. You will remain stagnant. You'll be in church forever. You might be sweet and a blessing, but let me tell you, you won't grow. And God needs us to grow. I said, he needs us to grow. Romans 12, verses 1 to 3, you're very familiar with this, I'm sure, in this church, New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Notice he didn't say anything about singing. Nothing wrong with singing. But our true worship to him is our service to him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you. Particularly in the area of our soul. A lot of times, we're taking care of every other area, but our soul, which involves our thinking, our mind, we just allow all these thoughts to come and we do nothing about them. We won't cast it down and replace it with the truth and speak the truth. And so what's happening is we're trying to, you'll hear people say it like this. Like, I'm trying, Pastor. I'm a pastor. So, you know, people come to us and ask for help. And I say, and sometimes I'll say like, oh, do this or do that. Well, I'm doing that. I said, pray or read your Bible or, you know, read this or read that. I'm doing that. And it's not, who said it's not working? Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, you're just lying because God's word will work. Yeah. I know it's harsh sometimes. I don't always say that. But if you're going to, you got to let God, again, going back to Hebrews 4, it says that the rest, I want to emphasize that, the rest that is referred to in Hebrews 4 is not working in your labors. In other words, it said that they retired from their labors. Where is that? It looks kind of like, put up that first picture that I talked about. I was going to put up. I forgot about them. Okay, so this, if you were in youth, the youth camp, you remember this illustration. So if we're, this is a picture of how God wants us to prosper in our soul. I know this is an external picture, but obviously we can't take a picture of our soul. So this is an example, an illustration. This is how God wants us to prosper. This is when we allow God to work on us in our soul. How is he going to do that? Through his word. This is when we allow God, we come away from our labors. We come away from what we are trying to do in ourselves. Let's go back there real quick. Hebrews 4, and then I'll show you the other one. Are y'all getting this? Hebrews chapter 4, look at this. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works which were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Verse 9, this is where I want to focus. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest. Everyone say his rest. Say it again. His rest. He who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works. In other words, we stop trying to do it in our own ability. We stop trying to fix the rejection, the depression, the suicidal thoughts in our own ability, in our own might, in our own power. We stop trying to fix it. wrong habits, bad habits, giving ourselves over to anger where it displeases God. Things that are in our souls that we allow stinking thinking about ourselves. We stop trying to fix it in ourselves. We stop from doing our own works. Just like God, when he stopped, when he on that seventh day, it said God rested. When God rested, he wasn't tired. He rested because he was finished. And the work that Jesus did for us, Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Did you see that part in Luke chapter 4? I came to heal the brokenhearted. There are some of us that won't allow God to heal and mend the hearts that are broken. Why am I saying that? We're refusing to allow him because we won't look into his word. Yes, the pain is there. Yes, the hurt is there. Yes, all of the damage that happened. But at some point or another, it can no longer be, I can't do this and I can't be this because this has happened to me. There are times, and I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost and those times and the anointing, where we can lay hands on you and the power of God can do such a work in you. But there are also times where the power of God will do even the same to the same degree of work in you when it comes through his word. But it won't work if you're not, when you put up that first picture again, when you allow God to do it, that's how you look. It's that beautiful picture. But when you allow when you try to do it yourself, you got them again. That's how you look. This baby girl tried to do it herself. Bless her heart. That's probably how I would look if I tried to do it myself, because I don't know. I don't know how to do that. She ain't an ugly girl. But you know what? She tried to do it herself. And it's obvious to us, right? This is how obvious it is to our Father. And he laughs. The Bible says he sits in the throne and laughs. And I always wonder, what does he laugh about? Probably laughing at us. Bless their hearts. Baby, when you gonna learn? I'm trying to tell you. My word is a lamp to your feet. It is a light to your path. You just stumbling all in the dark. Fumbling, a mess, a wreck. You want everybody to see the good side. So, you know, you put on the smile and you put on all this stuff, but you're hurting on the inside. And you may be doing great in other areas of your life. You may know how to flourish and prosper in your finances. You may know how to flourish and prosper in your healing. But how many of us are taking care of that realm, that soulless realm that really can dictate our future? Are we going to fulfill the destiny of God or not? How many of us are going to allow God? Let God have his way. The title of this message is His Way Equals My Rest. His way is my rest. The rest that we are called to do is to rest from our own labors, our own efforts. It didn't work with righteousness. It's not going to work with fixing whatever's going on in here and in here. The Bible is very clear. God tells us in Romans chapter 12, we just read it. Don't copy the behavior and customs, verse 2, and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know. You will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect because of the privilege and authority God has given me. I give each of you this warning. Don't think of yourselves better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Be honest about where you truly are. Because you can be faking it, but the thing is, you're not being, guys, I didn't talk about it yet, but I have t-shirts out there. They're called A Living Testimony. The subtitle is A Living Testimony. And that came out of, it was a message that I spoke at Kindle the Flame one year, and it really just came from a place that God, and it's still my main message. God wants to use you and I as a living display of his glory. In everything. How much of a testimony is it to your family? Because see, your family knows how you really are. And I'm not saying it in a condemning way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know the struggles that you have. And that's okay to let them see that, because the thing is, when they see God doing a work in you as you allow him to, everything isn't going to be laying on of hands, anointing, bam, like that. It's going to come through the word of God. When they see that changing and healing you, that's the greatest testimony. More than you telling them, get up, we're going to church, read your Bible, they're going to start to see the transformation in your life. The greatest thing that my parents could ever pass on, me and Pastor Anna were talking about this the other day, the greatest thing my parents could have passed on to me, they were not perfect. Today they're divorced. It was an awful time and an awful thing in our family, in our church family, in our city. But one thing I'm so grateful for is that my parents, they really did live out the life that they preached. I saw God, when they were weak, I saw God's strength. When they were not able, when they were, given short, especially my mom, when she was short on a particular area, in other words, she fell short, she did not meet the mark, she allowed God to step in and help her to get her there. And I saw that, and I witnessed that. I saw miracles too, and I saw all these other things, gifts of the Spirit, and those things were wonderful. But the greatest testimony was to see my parents' lives and to see God working in our lives as a result of them praying, as a result of, come on. So them knowing who they were and following God wholeheartedly, it's not perfectly, but it's wholeheartedly, that's why I'm here today. That's why I made the decision as a teenager. Because I'm one of those people, I'm going to do something all the way. If I'm going to be a sinner, I'm sinning all the way. I ain't going to be one of them halfway in church, halfway out. If I'm going to be a sinner, I'm going for it. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to go for it with all my heart and all my might. Thank God I chose to be saved. I chose life because I just saw too much. But I chose it and I said, I'm not going halfway. I'm going full blaze. The determining factor was to see them as a living testimony. That's what the shirt say. His words, my story. His words, my story. His word working in us becomes our testimony to the world that God is alive. His Spirit is alive in us, and his Son gave us access to eternal life. And we are now adopted into the family of God as heirs of him and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the inheritance that belongs to us is health, is wealth, health in every area of our lives, health in places that money can't do for us, health in things like joy and peace. I'm rooted and grounded in him, and in him I find security, I find confidence, I have everything. If you want those fruit to be manifested in your life, you become a living display. God will bring glory. That's right. He's going to exalt you because it needs to bring glory to him. He needs another testimony in the earth. How many of you can say, I'm a living testimony? I'm a living testimony. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wants that for us. Last but not least, so we got to do this his way in the word. Psalm 119 says this in 105, New Living Translation. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119, just write down these references. 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Allow God's word to just expose that light in those places. The teaching of your word gives light so even the simple can understand. I like it in the New Living Translation. In the New King James, it says, Proverbs 4:20-21, like I said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Hebrews 4:12-13 in the New Living Translation. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I don't know any other thing on this planet that can do that. There is nothing that can penetrate the soul of a man like the Word of God. The Spirit of God and the Word of God goes deep down into your soul and just cuts you and does some surgery, surgically removing those stains and those things that we've embraced and that we've allowed to be in. This is why we must let Him have His way. Through and through in us, we've got to let Him do what He needs to do. Ooh, He's got a lot to do in us. And that brings glory to His name. When it comes to relationships, romantic relationships, it's hard to decipher what's your spirit and your soul, because when your emotions are involved, it can cloud things. The Word of God and the Spirit of God have just a way of dividing. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It will help us, it cause things to be separated, light shining in those fuzzy areas. Hallelujah. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Everybody say, His way. His way. His way. We're going to enter into His rest. His way is our rest. Amen. And like I said, with the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12 in the New Living Translation. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deepest secrets. My God. Woo. You know what Jesus said. His truth makes us free. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. You want to know? The Holy Ghost will reveal it to you. You get into the Word, and He's going to not only reveal it to you so you can understand, but then He's going to make it a reality to you. If you just take your time and chew and meditate, there's different ways you can approach the Word. You can read the Word, you can study the Word, and you can meditate the Word. Meditation, they're all good and they're all necessary, but meditation is that engrafting of the Word in your heart, getting it etched in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So promotion comes from, like I said, from possessing the inheritance. Promotion comes from God, from us prospering in every area, especially our soul. And then number three, promotion comes when we grow up spiritually. Ephesians chapter 4, I referred to it the other day, verses 11 to 15. I'm not going to read all of it, but the gifts that were given to us, it's to equip us, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's to equip us as a body, as for what purpose? It says, verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away by every wind of doctrine. It says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head, His body, the church. Hallelujah. God wants us to grow up. And when we're growing up, it will call for promotion. I said, when we grow up, it calls for promotion. When we start to possess the inheritance, not just owning it, but possessing it. When we start to possess the inheritance, when we start to come into a prosperity, really, as our whole being prospers, not just our spirit, but our soul begins to prosper. And then our body begins to prosper. And then we walk into a place where we're growing up spiritually. We are ready to be promoted. We are ready to go higher. We are ready to go further. We're ready to influence greater into the things God has called us to. Hallelujah. His way, His way, His way is my rest. Hallelujah.